Time now for the latest world sport from the BBC with me, Chris Dennis. Coming up.
To have equaled Pete Sampras' record of 14, to maybe be able to break it and go for the back-to-back Paris and Wimbledon after Rafa did last year is obviously a nice feeling, and I'm very excited of what's ahead.
Yes, Roger Federer already looking forward to Grand Slam number 15. The LA Lakers take a 2-0 lead over the Orlando Magic in the NBA Finals. And in the English Premier League, one club is sold and another is back on the market. First, though, after equaling Pete Sampras' record of 14 Grand Slam titles with victory at the French Open at the weekend, Roger Federer is already looking forward to making history at Wimbledon later this month with victory number 15. Federer's first French Open title means he's only the sixth man ever to have won all four Grand Slam tournaments. The BBC's Russell Fuller, who watched Federer beat Robin Söderling in Paris, reflects now on what a difference a year has made for the world number two.
Pete Sampras can still claim that no one has won more Grand Slam titles than he did, but Roger Federer is not planning on stopping at 14. This time last year, the new French Open champion was smarting from a Parisian thrashing by Rafael Nadal and about to experience the most gut-wrenching defeat of his career at Wimbledon. Even when title number 13 was notched up in New York in September, the feeling that Federer's time was running out was underlined by Nadal's five-set victory in Australia at the start of the year. But now he's conquered the clay, and the dynamic of the men's game has changed once more. Nadal's sore knees will keep him out of the Wimbledon warm-up event at Queen's Club, and Federer will once again be the man to beat on grass and on the hard courts of the United States. The man for Murray, Djokovic and the rising Argentine star Juan Martin Del Potro to aim at as well.
So as the tension switches from the clay to the grass, Roger Federer has emerged as favourite to reclaim the Wimbledon crown he lost to Rafael Nadal last year. And given his record at the All England Club, Federer is eyeing a sixth Wimbledon victory.
I think I'm definitely in a great position right now. Obviously, I have to see and think about what my best possible preparation is for Wimbledon again. But I'm so excited. Wimbledon's around the corner. You know, I'm a big fan of the tournament. I'm so proud of my five victories in a row over there and equaling, you know, Borg's record. But of course, you know, I'm very proud, of course, as well to have equaled Pete Sampras' record of 14 and to maybe be able to break it and go for the back-to-back Paris and Wimbledon after Rafa did last year is obviously a nice feeling. And I'm very excited of what's ahead.
Now that Federer has joined the elite band of players to have won all four Grand Slams, the debate over whether he's the greatest of all time has been reignited. Many players, past and present, think he is. Among them, the man who lost to him in the final in Paris, Robin Söderling.
You know, every time I played Roger after the match, I always said, like, I played so bad today. But, you know, now I learned it's not that I play bad. You know, he makes me play bad. So that's what's so so difficult playing against him. He's a great player. He doesn't have any weaknesses at all. So, you know, he really deserved to be called the best player of all times, I think.
Elsewhere, the former women's world number one, Maria Sharapova, will start her grass court season shortly in Birmingham, where she'll be hoping to win the Edgbaston tournament for a third time. The Russian made the quarterfinals of the French Open in her first Grand Slam appearance of 2009, following 10 months out of the game with a shoulder injury. She won Wimbledon as a 17-year-old back in 2004, but told the BBC that she can't say for certain when she'll be back in that kind of form.
Oh, that's a million-dollar question. I'd love to give you that answer, and I'd love to say that it would be, you know, tomorrow or in a week, but I don't know. And that's the beauty of the sport is, you know, the tour is like a merry-go-round, and I was like a broken-down horse for 10 months, and now I'm back on this carnival ride, and here I am, and just playing tournaments, and hopefully I'll get my confidence up on the grass, as I didn't play too many matches last year.
Next to basketball here on the BBC World Service, and the LA Lakers have taken a 2-0 lead over the Orlando Magic in this year's NBA Finals after winning again on their home court. LA took Game 2 of the best-of-seven series in overtime by 101 points to 96, a game watched by Todd Ant.
This was a much more competitive game than the first contest. Orlando made some adjustments and started making shots and never let the Lakers get too far ahead. And with 47 seconds left in the game, Haydou Turkoglu from Turkey dropped a 23-footer to give the Magic a 2-point lead. But Spain's Pau Gasol came back and made a layup and that evened the score. But the moment that had the Lakers fans' hearts in their mouths was with 0.6 seconds left in regulation. The Magic inbounded the ball with a high lob that Courtney Lee caught in midair and just missed the layup that would have won it for Orlando. Instead, they went to overtime, and it was all Los Angeles. They went on a 7-0 run, and that sealed a 101-96 victory in front of the home fans in Hollywood. Kobe Bryant scored 29 for the winners, and the Lakers are halfway to the championship with a 2-0 series lead with Game 3 on Tuesday in Orlando.
Well, let's hear now from the Los Angeles coach, Phil Jackson. He said Orlando put them under great pressure, but his team didn't dwell on lost opportunities.
There is a sense of relief because they played very well. There's no doubt that they had every opportunity or chance to win the game. However, we had that ball at the end of the game with 9 seconds after making a really good defensive play. And, that we didn't get a good shot, that Kobe didn't get an opportunity, I thought really disappointed him and disappointed us, but it didn't weigh us down going into the overtime. And that's what you're always worried about, is that, we don't get a good shot. They get a couple looks at timeouts. Now how's our energy going to be? And we played with good energy.
To football news, and West Ham United is under new ownership. The Premier League club has been sold to an asset management company for an undisclosed fee. More details from the BBC Sports News correspondent Gordon Farker.
Look at this deal effectively a bit like a mortgage company repossessing a house. West Ham's now former owner, Bjørgólfur Gudmundsson, lost all his money in the global financial crisis. Now, they've been looking for a buyer in the hope of being able to satisfy their creditors, and that's another Icelandic bank called Strama. But with no other buyer in sight, the club has effectively been handed back, repossessed, if you want to put it that way. CB Holdings, a subsidiary of Strama Bank, are now officially the new owners. And one of the bank's directors, Andrew Bernhardt, has taken over as chairman, and in a statement he says that there's a 2-year investment plan for the club, which includes a budget for transfers, but that's got to be based on what the club earns. And he also says he's looking forward to working with Gianfranco Zola. But a final twist to this story is that Strama Bank was itself bailed out by the Icelandic government, so you could say that West Ham are now effectively owned by Icelandic taxpayers.
Elsewhere, Newcastle United is up for sale for the second time at a reduced asking price of $158 million. The club was relegated from the Premier League on the final day of last season. Meanwhile, several clubs across Europe have parted company with their coaches today. In Italy, Delio Rossi has left Lazio after deciding he didn't have the full backing of the club. Rossi led the club to the Italian Cup last month, but could only finish 10th in Serie A. In Portugal, Benfica are looking for a new coach after Kike Flores decided to stand down a year early. The former European champions finished a disappointing third in the Portuguese First Division. And in Germany, Dieter Hoeneß is leaving his post of manager of Hertha Berlin after losing a power struggle with the club. Hertha finished fourth in the Bundesliga and therefore missed out on qualification for the Champions League. And after 13 rounds of World Cup qualifying in South America, Ecuador remain in contention for a playoff place for next year's finals in South Africa. They won 2-1 in Peru at the weekend and host Argentina on Wednesday. Brazil, Paraguay, Chile and Argentina, in that order, occupy the top four places automatically for qualification. Next to Formula One, the British Grand Prix a week on Sunday will be quite a homecoming for Jenson Button. The Briton's latest victory in Istanbul in his brawn put him 26 points clear at the top of the World Championship. Button's now looking forward to making it 7 wins out of 8 for the season in front of his home crowd.
It's always been amazing going to Silverstone anyway, because it's my home Grand Prix, and it's a special feeling, however bad the car is. But sometimes it's a little bit embarrassing because you've got so many fans there with banners and flags, and you know you're not going to have a good race. But going there here, I know that we've got a possibility of having a very good race, and it's sort of, in a way, it's sort of repaying them, and also something that they can really sink their teeth into and really get into the atmosphere. And I'm hoping for a great crowd, because the British Grand Prix is, for me, the most spectacular race on the calendar, being very patriotic, of course. And I think we need a good show this year. I think we need to show everyone that the British Grand Prix is one of the biggest races of the year, and that it should stay in Formula One for a very long time.
Braun's Jenson Button there, ending the latest world sport from the BBC here in London.